This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Vinny and Hades with around today's biggest headlines. 105.7 The Fan.
It's the Whip Around on Woman Crush Wednesday here on Vinny and Haney. Cordell Woodland in for Bob with Vinny Serrato. Quick Draw McGraw on the board. Let's get things started out of New York where the Yankees clinched against the Blue Jays.
And the pitch chops slowly to second. Torres there. And the Yankees are the American League East champions. They assure themselves a first round bye. They assure themselves home field.
That audio courtesy of Yes Network. Yankees defeat the Blue Jays 5-2 to clinch their playoff spot, to clinch the division. Aaron Judge, 4 walks in the game, still sitting on 60. We'll have to wait another day for that to happen. But the Blue Jays, who continue to fight for their own playoff hopes, drop a big win out against the Yankees.
Hey, you know what's amazing, Cordell, is Saturday. If he hits the home run Saturday, the anniversary of Maris hitting his 61st to the day is Saturday.
Oh, wow. Hey.
Guess who they're playing?
Who?
Orioles.
They are. You're right. They are playing the Orioles. And
for a judge, that'd be kind of a cool thing.
Yeah,
you know?
For him. Yeah. For him, that'd be great.
As long as it's a solo shot.
Right. Well, let's keep it going here on the Whip Around. Speaking of the Orioles, a former Oriole, Richard Bleier, involved in one of the most craziest things you'll see in baseball when the Marlins took on the Mets.
Yeah, that's a strike. He thought it was low.
And he called another balk. 3 balks in the inning committed by Richard Bleier.
Not only that, they just got thrown out.
Another strike.
Home plate umpire Ryan Blakey threw him out. You're not allowed to argue a balk, but Donnie had seen enough.
That audio courtesy of Bally Sports. Yeah, you're probably, you get 3 straight balks. And honestly, looking at it, it did not look like they were all balks. I thought they were pretty good pitches. It looked standard to me, to the naked eye, but what do I know? 3 straight balks. Jeff McNeil ends up going from first to home base off those 3 straight walks that happened at the same at bat. Marlins do end up winning that game 6-4, but Richard Bleier, who had never committed a balk at any point in his career before that, 3 balks on the same at bat, then he and Don Mattingly, of course, get thrown out of the game.
I know, like if you're the ump, it's almost like you're like picking on the dude,
yeah.
You know, because, you know, after the first one, all right, what'd I do? You didn't hold it long enough, okay. You know, and then you know you're going to hold it longer than expected next time. So, you know, and then when you get the second one, then it's like he's out to get me.
Yeah, it was not pretty. I mean, I wouldn't imagine. How could you not argue that? You know,
I'd be MFing him to death.
Yeah, I mean, I was expecting it. I think sometimes as an umpire, you got to know, all right, I got this one coming. I know they're going to be pissed off. I know I'm about to have to hear it. I'm going to have a longer leash than I probably would, but that was not the case as Mattingly and Richard Bleier were both thrown out of that game. Also, games that went on yesterday that interested the Orioles, although the Orioles did end up losing to the Red Sox. The Rangers blanked the Seattle Mariners 5-0. Seattle drops to 83-70. I don't know what the Mariners are doing right now. This looked like they were one of the hottest teams in baseball, about a month and a half ago? And now they can't even beat the Rangers. It looks like every time I look, the Mariners are dropping yet another game.
No doubt.
Thankfully, the Orioles, like you said, are looking like they don't want to go to the playoffs themselves. They're not putting any pressure on this team. That loss really did not hurt the Mariners at all, losing to the Rangers. Another game that impacted the Orioles, the Tampa Bay Rays going up against division leader Cleveland Guardians. The Rays actually were able to steal that win 6-5 in extras in the 11th inning. Yet again, another situation where the Orioles not getting any help from the teams around them, probably hoping that the Cleveland Guardians could help them out a little bit, defeat the Rays, but they could not. The Orioles, just an update on the wild card standings. Orioles still 3.5 games back of the Seattle Mariners right now. The Mariners, 2-game losing streak, 3-7 out of their last 10, but the Orioles, 5-5 of their last 10. They can't seem to really gain any ground on the struggling Seattle Mariners. Elsewhere in the whip around, the Phoenix Suns, we're getting closer and closer to the NBA season. A lot of NBA teams had their media day this past weekend. DeAndre Ayton, let it be known, he has not spoken to his head coach since last year's Game 7 loss to the Dallas Mavericks. And in that game, the Mavericks destroyed the Suns 123-90. DeAndre Ayton, only 17 minutes, 2-for-5 in that game, 5 points, 4 rebounds, 3 fouls. DeAndre Ayton was the biggest guy in that series. He's not just big, but he's also one of the more talented young players in the NBA. For him to only contribute 5 points and 4 rebounds in a win-or-go-home situation, that's on him. I don't understand what his beef could possibly be with your head coach. I'm just not on board with some of what goes on in today's NBA. I think some of these players are soft, and I think that's physically and mentally at times when you look at some of these other players around the league. But DeAndre Ayton saying that he hasn't spoken to Coach Monty Williams since that Game 7, I think that's just a detriment on DeAndre Ayton. I wouldn't even say that out in public. That makes you look bad as the player in my mind. You are out there supposed to be dominating your matchup because the Mavericks have no center, and DeAndre Ayton could only muster 5-4 in that game. That's disgusting to me. Hopefully he bounced back. It's clear he doesn't want to be in Phoenix. Phoenix did not trade him. We'll see how long he remains in a Suns jersey. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll try to look at the stock market, see what's going on out there. Is buy or sell? We'll talk to Quick Draw, get some sports takes as well. That's next here on The Fan.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or are you selling?
I'm not going to buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 1057, The Fan.
Woman Crush Wednesday here on The Fan is Vinny and Haney, Cordell Woodland, and for Bob with Vinny Serrato, a Quick Draw McGraw. Trying to get you some money. It's buy or sell. Vinny, what's the stock market looking like?
Yeah, we're coming back a little bit today there, Cordell. I mean, it couldn't keep. I mean, eventually it got to go up, right?
You'd hope.
The Dow's up 434. NASDAQ or S&P's up 57. NASDAQ's up 158. DraftKings up 18 cents. Under Armour's up 30 cents, 715. So it says Dow rebounds over 300 points from 2022 lows as yields retreat and the British pound stabilizes.
That's the Cordell difference right there.
Yeah.
I bet you when Bob comes back tomorrow, we'll be in the red again.
Probably so.
I'm glad I can help. I'm glad I can help.
Yeah.
All right, we'll start with a player whose stock is way down. Probably nobody with lower stock than Kenny Golladay at this point.
Oof-ta.
I feel like we bring this up every couple weeks, but at this point, what do the Giants do? No secret that they're not happy with the wide receiver. It's been a train wreck of a signing. What was he targeted 3 times the other night? No catches for him.
He dropped two of them.
He dropped.
Right, yeah.
And, right in his hands.
Now, this was before that game, by the way. Reports coming out that the Giants would be looking to potentially trade him. Now, I know what you're thinking. Who in the world would trade for Kenny Golladay?
Salary.
Especially with that contract. The Giants would have to eat most of the money, and in exchange, you're getting a late-round pick. So, Vinny, buy or sell, no chance the Giants find a trade partner here.
I'll sell it. I'll sell it, because if you're going to eat most of the money and I'm giving you a late-round draft pick, it's a no-lose for me. You know, because he needs a change of scenery. He was good in Detroit. You paid him a fortune. So if I'm a good team, you know, if I'm Tampa or somebody like that, oh, hell yeah. I think they'll have a shot. He'll get traded.
Well, Cordell, you were talking about it earlier, NBA teams having their media days ahead of the season. And for the Lakers, everyone wants to know, how are they going to avoid another disappointing season? How can they get back in the postseason? We know LeBron, he's committed himself for the immediate future, another extension for him.
Mm-hmm.
They've added a few role players as well. Can they add even more, though? Rob Pelinka says the team would consider trading even more of their draft capital, if you can believe that, to put more pieces around LeBron. It backfired on him last time in the Westbrook trade. But buy or sell, Cordell, the Lakers should not be looking to deal more first-round picks.
Oh, well, I'll sell the fact that they shouldn't, but I'll buy the fact that they will, because it's what the Lakers do. They can't help themselves. They have to make a big splash every year. They have to go get whatever big names that they could possibly get a hold of. They have whatever formula in their mind of what works, and I think that the Lakers are still stuck back in, you know, the Showtime era. And maybe even back in the Kobe and Shaq era a little bit. I think that they still think that they can bring in all these big name vets and not miss a beat. Last year should have shown them that's not the case.
Well, the Patriots, they're going to be without Mac Jones for at least the immediate future and maybe even longer than that, depending on how severe that ankle injury is. You know, judging by the look on his face, though, coming off the field, was pretty serious. They'll face Green Bay this Sunday, so Brian Hoyer, he's poised to take the snaps in that one. But don't forget, New England also got Bailey Zappe. They drafted him in the fourth round this year. Vinny, buy or sell, at some point this season, assuming the Jones injury is a long-term one, the Pats should turn to Zappe, considering we already know what Hoyer is as a quarterback.
I'm going to sell it because they're going to be in survival mode. They have a defense that can win. You know, do they have an offense, you know, that can score points? That's the thing. I think Hoyer gives them the best chance. And it sounds like, you know, that Mac Jones is going to be out 4 to 6 weeks. They put him on IR, you know, which means, you know, he's out at least four. So he could be out 6 weeks.
Well, the Orioles tonight, Dean Kramer, he gets the nod for them in Game 3. And, I mean, can't be any worse than the pitchers the last couple nights.
No.
Low hurdle to get over, but he's looking to keep the good times rolling for him. He's been pretty good over the last month. The last time he gave up more than three runs in a game was actually at Fenway on August 11th. Went 5 2/3 in a loss there. Buy or sell, Cordell, Kramer allows three runs or less, six innings of work tonight against Boston.
I'll buy it. Kramer's been hot. Kramer's definitely been hot. His last outing had the full game shutout, nine innings, six strikeouts in that game. Only two walks, giving up only four hits. I think Kramer's been phenomenal. He hasn't allowed, like you said, the last time he gave up more than three runs was in Boston earlier in August. I'm going to ride that, and I'm going to hope that the bats continue to give the type of run support that they've been giving to these pitchers as of late. I just think Kramer will finally be the one to take advantage of it.
What do you think of the man bun, Cordell?
I've never been crazy about the man bun, and I say that as a guy with hair, and at times I have to do that myself. But in my defense, I only do it when I'm about to eat, because my hair, if I have it hanging down, it's a little too long, and I'll eat. And I'll look back about an hour or so later, and I'll find something hanging at the end of my hair. So, you know, I do it for precautionary reasons, but I don't enjoy doing it.
And we'll close with this here. The Cowboys, they're finding ways to win without Dak Prescott. Moved to 2-1 on the season. Say what you want about the level of competition, but they win. And it was reported, though, prior to Monday night's game that Dak could be back in the next couple weeks. Even said he's not ruling out a week 4 return. That would be pretty crazy considering the initial timetable for him with that hand injury was 6 to 8 weeks, but they didn't put him on IR for a reason, I guess. Up next, they will host the Commanders, then play the Rams and the Eagles after that. So Vinny, buy or sell, the Cowboys should not rush Dak back for week 4 given the level of competition.
Yeah, he's not going to be he can't even grip a ball yet. I mean, he just got the stitches out. So, you know, the earliest he's going to be back would be for the Rams game, the earliest. You know, I mean, he's doing his conditioning and all that, but you still got to be able to throw the ball with some zip and, you know, what if it's, you know, rainy or what if it's cold and, you know, all those things. So, I could potentially see him for the Rams, but there's no way that he's playing for the Washington game. I'm relying on my defense. They may sack Carson Wentz like 20 times.
I mean, everybody else is. His offensive line stinks. Everything about the Commanders right now stinks. Carson Wentz has not added anything to that offense that doesn't look to score until the game's out of reach in the second half, and then he wants to put up his fantasy stats. You're not fooling me, Carson Wentz, at all. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll be joined by Bo Smoker, who covers the Ravens for PressBox Online. Bo, I'll probably see him out at the castle once I leave here. We'll talk to Bo about the Ravens' upcoming game against the Bills next here on The Fan.
On your home for the best Ravens coverage. Time for News from the Nest with Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, we're back here on this Woman Crush Wednesday, getting you some news from the Nest. Cordell Woodland in for Bob with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. Joining us now via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline, we got Bo Smoker, who covers the Ravens for PressBox Online. What's going on, Bo?
Hi, Cordell. How are you?
Not bad, man. And let's jump right into it. The Ravens have a ton of question marks along this offensive line, even more now than they did before with the injury to Patrick McCarthy. Daniel Faalele gets inserted in the Patriots game. What do you think is the plan going forward, if nothing else, for depth for this left tackle position? Because they're getting to the point now where they basically run out of bodies.
Yep, they have. I mean, David Sharp, a practice squad guy who's played some last year, might be an option there. I know some people have thought, well, maybe we'll move Morgan Moses to the left side and Faalele will start on the right side where he's more comfortable. I don't know that they'll do that. If they want to do that, now at least they have a week to do it, and I'll have to scramble in the second quarter of a game and do that. But it seems to me that makes two moving parts instead of one, and I suspect they will not do that. And, of course, we're still waiting for Ronnie Stanley to come back, mm-hmm. I think at this point there's got to be some frustration in the building, even though I know they're being cautious and all that. But John Harbaugh said Friday, he kind of put it on Stanley.
Yeah.
And said, Ronnie Stanley will be back when Ronnie Stanley feels he's able to play at his level. Well, you know what? Coming off that ankle injury, I'm not sure he'll ever get back to that level. So what does that exactly mean? It's got to be frustrating that he's still not there, especially now that two other guys have gone down and they're down to a rookie who's never ever played left tackle thrown in there. And I thought Faalele did okay after that first initial burst, and he got beat a couple times. They were smart they brought Josh Oliver over to help out. They brought Patrick Guard over to help out, and they were both effective helping him in pass coverage. And Faalele was decent in run blocking. I mean, he's a mountain of a guy that's going to move people. So it's not ideal. And you know, whether we will see, I don't know how much we'll be able to see because we can really only see the stretching and so forth this week. But I think it'll either be Faalele or they might go to David Sharp and they will tell Stanley, hey, maybe you need to change that barometer and maybe you'd come back at 80% because it's sure better than a rookie who's never played before.
No doubt about it. And going from one situation along the offensive line where they're kind of dealing with injuries, let's go to the backfield where they're getting guys back. J.K. Dobbins made his debut back on the field. Justice Hill, who missed all of last season, he was able to kind of insert himself in this running game that finally got going this week. What did you think about the resurgence, a little bit at least, from the running backs that contributed in Sunday's run game?
Well, I thought it looked much more like what they want it to look like. And I know they don't have Gus Edwards back yet, and he's the last missing piece. And I know Dobbins only had, 6 for 27. He didn't pick up any big numbers. But it had to be encouraging seeing him out there. And I watched the game again, and the one play that sticks out to me, there was one play where Jackson kept it on a design keeper. It was an RPO play. He faked to Dobbins to the right, and Matthew Judon totally bit on the Dobbins fake, and that opened up room for Jackson to get, 8 or 10 yards. And I just feel like that play Kenyon Drake or Mike Davis, Judon's not biting on that because he doesn't fear those guys the way he does Dobbins. And so just that little bit told me that this running game is going to be more open and there's going to be more room and more activity because you have the threat of Dobbins. He has to stress a defense in a way that Drake and Davis just weren't doing. It was very telling to me that Davis only had one snap last week. It was all Dobbins and Hill. And I wouldn't be at all surprised to see that way going forward.
Hey, Bo, how many plays do you think JPP gets on Sunday?
Boy, that's a good question. I mean, maybe part of it will depend on whether Justin Houston's able to play at all, but I think he'll have to play some. I mean, Brandon Copeland played a bunch last week, and he was only in town starting Tuesday last week. So I think JPP will be put in situations where it's, you know, nothing too elaborate, maybe third down, obvious passing situation, see quarterback, get quarterback kind of thing. But I think they will need to have him. Calais Campbell played all but six snaps last week, mm-hmm. and that is not sustainable. And if they're not careful, they'll lose him too, keeping with that kind of workload. So I think he'll have to be out there. If I had to get off the top of my head, I'd say 10 to 12 snaps in low, not complex, basic, go get the quarterback passing situations.
Now, I watched the All-22 this morning and stuff, and Oway, he just doesn't look, I guess, either natural or comfortable rushing the passer, you know, because it's hard for him right now. And to me, he doesn't look really smooth at it at all.
I watched it too, Vinny, and the thing I was struck by was, you know, having not seen it, not having really studied him much in the first two games, I just assumed he was getting chipped a lot, he was getting doubled a lot, but he was not. He was just getting beaten by the left tackle or the right tackle, but mainly the left tackle.
Hey, Bo, how about the spin move? How about the spin move he did where he stayed in the same spot and right into the guy's chest?
Right. So, I mean, he's not getting that bend around the corner like we saw him get in training camp. And the other thing that got to be careful with him was he also lost the edge a couple times on the run.
Mm-hmm.
He got sucked inside, and then the outside is open. So they know it's been disappointing for him so far. They need more from him, absolutely. But I was struck, too, that he was not winning one-on-one battles like I thought he would.
We're talking to Bo Smoker, who covers the Ravens for PressBox Online. He joins us via the Ashley Furniture Guest Hotline. It's Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan. And Bo, this defense, they got their hands full this week coming up when the Bills come to town. They've been one of the worst defenses in the league in pass defense, statistically at least. Also have allowed teams to run the ball on them whenever they want, but they have been really good at forcing turnovers. Do you think that this recipe that they have going on right now, where they're giving up yards, at times they're giving up points, but they're getting the key turnovers late in games, they're being pretty decent and situational football on third down, passing third down specifically. Do you think that this recipe can work for them and allow them to get to where they want to be?
I mean, it's risky, right? It's going to be risky. Now, I will say that some of the big yards they gave up, you know, they got hurt early with Armour Davis on the field, and they got him out of there. Humphrey and Peters ended up playing almost every snap last week, which was encouraging because that tells you they're healthy and they're obviously better when they're on the field. They have to figure out what's going to happen at that third cornerback spot because whoever's out there is the guy they're picking on, whether it's Brandon Stevens or whether it's Armour Davis or Pepe Williams. And then they're going to try to create turnovers, of course. And they are much more up. I mean, they already have six interceptions this year. They only had nine all of last year. So this is what they wanted. They wanted a defense that could be more of a playmaking, sudden change defense. They absolutely want that. But the coverage issues are there still, and I don't know that they want to be letting these teams march up and down the field. And the run defense has not been what they had hoped it would be either. And now we haven't gotten an update on Michael Pierce yet, but it didn't sound encouraging.
Tore his bicep.
Oh, did he? I hadn't seen that yet.
Yeah.
The run defense is an issue, and it's going to continue to be an issue. And the other issue with that run defense, and again, from watching the All-22, is the inside linebackers are getting taken out of plays, and then they're making tackles 10, 12 yards downfield.
Mm-hmm.
So they've got to get stronger run support from those inside linebackers because right now both Queen and Bynes are getting tackled numbers, but the tackles are coming 9 yards downfield instead of 2 yards downfield. So I think that it's got to be better run support, it's got to be better up front, and it's also got to be better at the inside linebacker spot in terms of the run defense.
And I think, Bo, I don't know if the scheme has changed on the run, you know, because the defensive linemen, they got to take two. They got to protect their linebackers. And those linebackers, you know, I mean, they're getting a center or a tackle out on them right away, you know, unblocked, you know. So those linebackers are not big enough to withstand that. Plus, the other thing that I noticed watching was the defensive linemen are not getting off of blocks. Other than Calais Campbell, everybody's like being locked on.
Pretty much. Matavike once or twice, but yep. You're right. Travis Jones was in there for the first time this week, and we thought we might see more from him. He had a quiet day. We'll see if that produces more.
Now, Bo, when you watch him, speaking of him, Travis Jones, I see him just a shade late every time coming off the ball.
And that could be it. Right now, let's give him it's his first game, and we'll see what – but they're going to need him to be quicker than that, and they're going to need him to be disruptive because he's going to have a bigger role for sure. But yeah, the run defense has not been what they needed to be, you know, at the first level or at the second level. And part of it, you know, there's plenty of blame to go around. Up front, they're getting beaten on blocks. Like I said, Owe is not particularly setting the edge well. Malik Harrison missed a couple tackles on the outside, and the inside linebackers are getting pushed off the ball. I mean, all of it creates big gains for the other team's run game.
Bo, you know, going to the offensive side of the ball, we know what we get from Mark Andrews. He had the 8 catches, 89 yards, 2 touchdowns in that game off 13 targets. So far, Devin Duvernay and Rashad Bateman, they've been able to also contribute with touchdowns. Devin Duvernay had one on Sunday. The reception distribution just jumps out at me. And I know that in this Ravens pass game, Mark Andrews is the guy. But after him, nobody had more than 2 catches. At some point, I think it's going to have to get to the point to where somebody can consistently be that guy. It's good that they're being efficient with their opportunities and getting the touchdowns, but is it a concern to you at all that nobody's really been able to kind of be that other guy throughout the course of the game besides Mark Andrews to this point?
I think it has to be because I think it shows that if you can stop Andrews, then this deep offense seems like it might scuffle. Stopping Andrews is an entirely different question, and no one's been able to do it. And Jackson's always going to look for Andrews first, and Andrews just does a great job of getting open for Jackson. I mean, in fact, Andrews has a couple drops, which is uncharacteristic. He got even more catches. And I mean, he could easily have 24 or 25 catches on a couple that he dropped that are very, very unusual for him. Rashad Bateman, I know people are expecting bigger numbers from him and probably more targets from him, and I agree. I think the opportunities will be there for him. He missed the one deep shot. He's had a couple deep shots they've taken at him. I still like him on those quick slants. I think he's dangerous that way. And even on the one, not counting the fumble, but on the other one he caught on the left sideline against the Patriots, he turned that into about a 25-yard gain. And I just look at him and say, he's so much more dangerous after the catch than Marquise Brown was.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's what strikes me more than anything with him. But, yeah, they want to get him the ball more. And Duvernay is a guy that I've thought for 2 years they should have him more active and more involved in the offense. And I think right now it's hard to measure confidence, but I think he's got a lot of it. And he goes up and makes that tough touchdown catch in the end zone. He made a tough touchdown catch in the first game. I think he's playing with a lot of confidence. I know he's only got 8 or 9 catches, but I think that's a guy they can absolutely still get more involved. And I think he's really feeling it right now. And I'd like to see – for 2 years I've been saying I'd like to see him more involved.
Hey, Bo, you know what surprised me when I looked, at the game book on Monday and I saw that Kyle Hamilton had 16 snaps. And then when I watched the film this morning, the All-22, you know, he was in positions where, you know, he was basically a flat defender. I mean, he was not in a position, you know, to get exposed deep or anything like that. It was, you know, and even the play that he made was a nice hustle play. But other than that, he was kind of playing like a linebacker.
I noticed that, too. They used Clark much more as a safety this time. And, yeah, I mean, after the game against the Dolphins, you can understand that maybe they're going to dial back Hamilton a little bit and not put him in situations where a miscommunication is suddenly an 80-yard touchdown where it shouldn't be there. So, yeah, it was noticeable to me, too, that Clark and Williams were much more the deep safeties and Hamilton was on the field much less. He's rangy still, and people are killing him already still. He's 3 games in. I'm a Notre Dame guy now. I got to admit, my son went to Notre Dame or is at Notre Dame now, so I give him a little bit of the doubt. But
right. He's
got to play better. He knows it, and I think it was smart of them to kind of reduce his role, let him get where he can where he can be effective and let the game kind of build to him a little more. And it was a great play he made on that one. And I mean,
yes, it's
6 foot four. I'm not sure Chuck Clark at 6 foot one or 6 foot one gets to that ball like Hamilton did. It was a terrific play. So it was noticeable as well that his workload was diminished. I think it's understandable given how that game had played out. And now it's a matter of ramping him up back up to continue to be kind of a big impact guy.
Bo Smoker covering the Ravens for Press Box Online. Bo, really appreciate you making some time for us today. I'll see you out at the castle later today.
All right, I'm here. I'll see you then.
Yes, sir, Bo Smoker.
Hey,
great stuff.
Cornell's hungry, Bo. They got the food out yet?
I am hungry. I am hungry. I'll find out once I get there. Before we go to break, just want to remind everybody, it's Wise Wednesday here on Vinny and Haney. We're giving away a $25 Wise Markets gift card, courtesy of Wise Markets, your Baltimore game day tailgate headquarters. Eat better, spend less. That's Wise. Be caller number 5, and you could win. 410-583-1057. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll get back to the Ravens. Vinny's been watching the All-22. We talked about what he saw on the offensive end. We'll look at what he saw on the defensive end next here on The Fan.
Breaking down every last second of game tape for Sunday's matchup.
Who's your connection?
You sound like a cop to me.
Who's your connection?
Enter Vinny's film room on 105.7 The Fan. The Fan.
Vinny and Haney, we're back here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Cordell Woodland in for Bob with Vinny Serrato, Quick Draw McGraw. We're going back to the film room, looking at the defensive side of the ball. This defense forced Mac Jones into 3 interceptions on Sunday's win over the Patriots. Vinny, what did the film tell you when you watched it?
Yeah, defensively. Well, let me hit special teams real quick, mm-hmm. Cordell. Just because I was telling you that Phillips, number 53, he played really well on teams. You know, he did a nice job. To me, you know who one of their best special teams is? And this may be why he can't get as many reps on offense. Justice Hill's awesome.
Yeah. He's made a couple of tackles already this season on special teams.
I mean,
teams.
He's the gunner and on the kickoff and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And, folks, I would just say this. When we're punting, when the Ravens are punting or kicking off, watch 43. He's going to be involved in there somewhere. He is really, really good at that, and he gets down there fast, and maybe, you know, so he's probably getting, what, 18 snaps on special teams also. Now, back to the defense. All right, defensively, let's start up front. Let's look at the run defense first. I thought New England had a hell of a plan, because what they were doing was they were taking right tackle and right guard, or the right guard and center, and they were doubling coming off. And then comboing up to the linebackers, you know, and the defensive linemen, you know, they would get driven back, and then it was easy to get onto the linebacker. So they were getting, and the center was handling his guy, and the defensive tackles were not getting off of blocks. The only one that got off of blocks was Calais Campbell. I mean, and then, like Bo said, Matabike mm-hmm. made a couple nice plays in there. Had a real nice pass rush the one time for the sack. Really nice pass rush. I mean, why can't he do that every time? You know, because he showed it.
He's definitely got the ability. He's
right,
definitely athletic enough. I can't.
Because that was a great dip, and yeah. You know, and he come around a corner, and you know, and got a hold. You know, and I think it hurt him when Houston got hurt, because then Klaas had to play outside a lot, mm-hmm. and Klaas did a nice job. The only problem is when he sets the edge. He doesn't have the speed or stuff to be able to run anybody down. That's the problem with him. Now, you know, we heard Bo say, you know, Oway struggled a couple times setting the edge. He did, you know, because he comes down inside, or one time the receiver blocked down on him. You gotta be ready for a crack, and the guys behind you gotta be saying, you know, Adafe, watch crack, you know, because you got a bunch set right there, and receiver just came down and cracked him. You've got to cross the dude's face. You cannot let him block you, because why is he trying to block you? Because they're trying to get outside. You got to cross face and get outside, and it's just a little wide receiver. Use your hands and get around him. Like Travis Jones, thought he was, I mean, it was his first game, so I'll give him a break, but when I watched him at UConn, I said he was he's always late off the snap. And when I watch it, he's still, you know, just a tad late all the time getting off the snap. And he's got to be quicker and more explosive off the ball and use his hands better, you know, and be more explosive shedding. First game, you know, first NFL game. So yeah. Maybe, you know, we'll see. Second game. But Washington plays hard all the time.
Oh, yeah, he does.
You know, so I think they do a nice job. Queen, if and same with Pines. I mean, if people get up on them, they're in trouble. You know, I mean, just because they're not big guys and they're going to lose. And that's what happened a lot with New England. I mean, they're fighting an offensive tackle or a center, and they're not going to win that battle. And even when he, like, would run blitz, at least in this game, kind of got caught in the stacks because the guys in front of him they're stuck right there, you know. So it was kind of a cluster Franklin in there. You know, so the run, it was kind of hot and cold, but a lot of cold in there. Now, the pass defense, thought Peters played well.
Yeah.
You know, he played almost every snap. I thought he played. And I thought Marlon Humphrey, I mean, Marlon's playing in the slot a lot just because, you know, that's Aguilar, you know, was, and they do a lot of stuff in the middle. He plays really physical, you know, and, I mean, he could probably get called for holding or illegal contact a lot, you know, because he's going to beat that receiver up.
I'll say this to that point, Vinny. I think definitely Marlon has that benefit to where he could play inside and out.
Yep.
And definitely they want to play him inside. But I think that obviously once Jalen Armour Davis is struggling outside and Brandon Stevens can't seem to stop Devontae Parker either, I think the game really changed once Marlon was pushed outside. I think they're starting to trust Pepe Williams more and more. I think as the year goes on, we're going to see more Marlon on the outside because I think that they'll – by the time we get to midseason for sure, I think Pepe Williams will have that confidence from this coaching staff to where they could feel confident kind of letting him be that inside guy and guard more of these quick twitch speedy receivers that line up in the slot.
Because that's what Pepe is quick twitch.
Yeah.
You know, he's 4.54 and a 40. So you don't want him outside.
And he's physical.
Yes. Well, he played safety some at Houston, yeah, too, which I like a lot about him. But Armour Davis is not ready for that role yet. You know, I mean, it showed he's not ready for that role because, you know, he took poor angles, too. Not only, you know, did he let the guy get inside and, you know, he's got to use his hands, you know, be a little physical. And then with Stevens, I mean, Stevens looks the part. He can run. He's big.
He's there.
He doesn't ever make the play on
the
ball.
He just can't make the play. Yeah, he's there, though.
He's there. I don't know how he stopped that touchdown. He must have just...
Oh, that was... Yeah.
That was a nice play. He just knocked it. You know, his hand got up there at the right time. You know, and that was a hell of a play. But he does not play the ball well.
Yeah, that's the one. If he could find a way to get better at finding the ball when it's in the air and actually being able to make a play on the ball, I think we would feel probably totally, and I like Brandon Stevens now, but I think we would feel even better about Brandon Stevens because the opportunities to make plays are there because he's always there. He's not getting beat.
Right. I agree.
He's running stride for stride with guys, but he is just not making a play on the ball.
And he didn't last year.
Nope.
You know, and he doesn't in practice.
Nope.
You know, so it's the same thing. I just... You know, he's only played DB for a couple years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's a running back and stuff. Yeah. He just doesn't have good ball skills. That's the problem, you know. Now, with like Chuck Clark, the one time they ran a cover two, you know, where they ran the corner route on him, and I could see, you know, like if that's maybe Hamilton who has better instincts and maybe better range, maybe he makes that play. But Chuck Clark, he just – can't get there.
Right.
You know, that's the thing with him. Marcus Williams made some nice plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, he's just a natural guy back there.
That boy good.
Yes. And he's going to have to be good again this week because it's going to be critical. And, you know, they've got to – I feel really good about Peters, you know, Humphrey, Clark and his role, and Marcus Williams. And I feel better about Pepe than I do anybody else.
No doubt.
You know, if he was like 6 foot, just because, you know, like when he dives and, he's just like an inch away, mm-hmm, all the time. So it's going to be a huge challenge, you know, for them this week.
Oh, no doubt about it. Bills coming to this, coming to M&T Bank Stadium this Sunday. Potent offense, potent defense. A very good team. Super Bowl favorites, according to Vegas. That should be a good one for sure. Coming up next here on Vinny and Haney, we'll feed you some NFL lunch. A lot of games to look at after this past Sunday. A couple of storylines. Myles Garrett, how he's doing after that single car crash. We'll look at the NFL as a whole where we feed you some NFL lunch next here on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.